But this morning we're here at Sunday School Hour, the Sunday School class. This will be the last lesson in a series of four. And we were 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 will be where we'll be today. And we had talked about a topic that had come up. And things come up from time to time. People ask questions, and so we as preachers and teachers and leaders try to show what the Scripture has to say about those things. And so we've been in a little series of science and philosophy, and people ask, well, you know, the kind of the philosophy of the day is this, this, and that. Well, I don't really care what the philosophy of the day is according to the Word of God, because that's just that. And last time we had class, we taught on I boiled it down, the four philosophies that you can just about get all down. And today, though, I wanted to talk about the word science. We talked about the word philosophy and what it means in the Scripture, what it means in the world, how the world defines it, where the world is at with it, and how that it is affecting the church. And believe me, the philosophy of the world has slipped into the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about your fundamental King James Bible-believing churches. For some reason, we're just afraid to stay with the old paths. For some reason, we tend to want to change the landmarks, and they're not to be changed. And when you start dropping the standards and changing the book, and that's been a big push today, you see, used to be fundamental, and I use that term loosely, fundamental King James Bible-believing preachers, premillennial, rapture of the church, believing, blood-bought Christians, taking the name Baptist off their church and backing away from the standards they used to have and doing this and doing that, all to get people. And I'm saying we live in the last days. And not that you have to be a Baptist church, you sure don't. Lester Roloff had a church for years called the People's Church. And that's what it was called. Now, they were Baptistic in doctrine, and he was an old Baylor grad, and he was an old Southern Baptist. Some of them old Southern Baptists had it down, man. They believed the book. They preached straight. They preached right. But he was pastor. I've been to the People's Church there in Corpus Christi, Texas, a number of times. Worked in the Peaceful Valley Homes there in Peaceful Valley in Waco, Texas, that's the other place, amen. That's where Jimmy was. No, I'm not. Mission, Texas is where they had the home called Peaceful Valley. Was there, worked there with the folks and around the people. And I'm talking 35, 40 years ago. Yeah, 40 years ago. Went to Culloden, Georgia to the home down there. Bonnie and I camped in a tent next to the pond down there. Look at that ministry over, seeing if we could be a part. Drove a little 1970 red Volkswagen Bug down there. Just me and her. We pawned our kids off on somebody. How'd we do that, hon? What was going on there? Yeah. Had a time camping in a tent. Why, you couldn't get me in a tent today, huh? This is a gospel tent. But things have changed. Can I say this? In the 45 years I've been preaching, things are changing. And here's some things that haven't changed. The Word of God, 1 Timothy 6:20. Let's get on point. O Timothy, young preacher, Paul pleading. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And we've talked of all the things that were committed. But avoid profane and vain babblings. Could I say this? He's talking to a young pastor. There's plenty of profane and vain babblings in churches today. It's just been two Sundays ago. Somebody used some profane language with me right here on Sunday morning. Say, they did? Yeah, they were describing to me something they wanted me to see and asked me if I knew anything about it, and his description was gutter language off the street. You say, what did he say? I can't say it here this morning. My conscience won't let me. You say, that happened here? You say, what'd you do? I just turned around and walked off. I said, you know, dude, What are you talking about? That's not the first time that's happened to me in church. It's happened here before. It's happened in other churches. I've had people take the Lord's name in vain right to me in the church and claim to be a blood-bought child of God. There's something wrong with that thing. People that impersonate Christians, to me, are just about as bad as somebody that impersonates a police officer. Do you know if... Now, Brother Tom was a cop, and I hear he was... Well, let me clarify. Some folks say he was a pretty good cop. But I've heard other people say he wasn't a very good cop. Say, who did you listen to? I listened to the ones that said he was a good cop. You say, why? Well, he's my pastor, and I don't want him to fire me. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But he couldn't have made it as long as he did if he was a bad cop. Amen? He was a good cop. Now, I don't know if there... And by the way, that was here in this church. That was a reference to, I guess, they thought he should have cuffed them, stuffed them, tased them, and thrown them in jail. And he just looked at the circumstances and had grace like he always does and said, well, we'll pass that. They're just... Probably had a couple too many to drink here and there at their own home. They'll be fine. They'll quit screaming in a minute. We'll let it go. But, you know, the people that call, they always think the cop, man, you ought to arrest him now. Yeah, you know, so if you don't, you're a bad cop. Let me clarify that. But if I were to put a badge on today and a police uniform and come in there and try to tell you I was a cop, probably Brother Tom would arrest me or have me checked in at the Lulu bin up there to see if I was thinking right, because you just can't impersonate a police officer and go out here and, you know, I'm saying, I'm a cop today and I'm going to try to arrest you. And man, we wouldn't have any tolerance for that. We got another police officer here back there. Howdy, brother. I just now seen him, but I got to be careful what I say, man. But you just can't get away with impersonating a police officer. Amen. Why do Christians get away with impersonating Christianity? I still think if they're not a Christian and they ain't acting like a Christian, don't tell me you're a Christian. Amen? Hey. Oh, Brother Phil, that's awful. Well, yeah. He says here, profane and vain babblings, and let me finish the verse. Here's where we'll be. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And the word science shows up there, and there's a warning against it and what it is and what it stands for. Then the only other time it's found in the Word of God is in the book of Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, and it's a time of trouble for Israel, and they're in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar's the king, and he says here, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful, talking about those Jews they were going to pick to speak words of wisdom, and in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And then I'm going to define the word science in a minute. Watch it. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And Daniel and his three friends there were four of them, they were chosen. And they were bilingual, and they could learn the Chaldean language if they didn't already know it. They spoke Hebrew, but they were wise men, but they were wise after the knowledge of God. I got news for you. If you're wise after the knowledge of God, you don't care what the philosophy of this world is, and you don't care what the so-called scientists are trying to say. Have you noticed today there's that buzzword, if you look at any news at all, oh, we're just going to follow the science. I mentioned it last week. We're just going to follow the science. Yeah, be careful who you're following. If you're a Fauci lover, I owe you no apologies this morning. I'm sorry, Dr. Fauci. He wants his title, but nobody wants to give you your title. And the apostle said, Paul the apostle, Paul the apostle, Paul the apostle. You say, what is that? Well, he just wanted folks to know, look, God called me. He called me out of due time. I'm an apostle. And I'm not big on titles and names, but there is a fly trying to torment me this morning. Get out of here. Beelzebub flying around here today. The word science is mentioned twice in the King James Bible. And let me say this, and probably the people that need to hear it aren't here, but the word science is missing in the NIV. They've taken it out. You say, why? I'll let you figure that out. There's something connected to it that the devil doesn't want you to see. The negative is of it, and Paul's warning against it here. And so the NIV, to help you out and not to cause you to struggle, has taken it out of the Bible. So I don't recommend the NIV, never have. Let me give you a quote, and people do what they want to do and try to justify it. I read a quote, it was so good I had to write it down. Pope John Paul II, do you remember that? Now, I know people say, oh, don't say nothing about anybody's religion. Look, the Lord called them GOVs. That's an acronym. We like acronyms today. That's Generation of Vipers. And he lined them out, man. But I read this quote this week. Pope John Paul II, now this is back in the 80s. In December of 1984, and I'm citing this from a magazine, a little research I did, the Omni magazine, that's a Christian periodical that comes out for all religion, on page 65 of the 84 edition, said this quote. And you know the big thing in science today, don't you? You know what it is. Creation or evolution. You understand that. You say, well, anybody that believes the Bible believes in the creation. Anybody believes that, don't they? Don't we believe that here? Don't the Catholic Church believe, they believe that? Don't they, everybody believe that? Let me give you the quote. Pope John Paul II said, quote, and I quote, Genesis is a myth, end quote. You say, why? He's going with the science, the Darwin people, the monkey people. He's not going with thus saith the Lord. He's not going with the thou shalt not. You say, why? Oh, well, he's probably got a philosophy that, you know, if we want to get our people back, get people back into the church, we're going to have to water this thing down a little bit. And hasn't that been the case? They're always looking for a pope that'll lighten up a little bit. Science, the meaning of science is this. Science is the pursuit and application of knowledge and understanding of the natural and social world following a systematic, I'm reading out of the dictionary, based on evidence, scientific methodology, there it is, includes the following. Evidence, experiment, and or observation as benchmarks for testing hypotheses. Now, that's a mouthful, just like a word like science, ain't it? See, what are they doing? Well, they're supposed to be taking things that are not theory, that are not philosophy. They're taking the real thing, like let's do a science experiment here to prove something. Water has three parts. Okay, how are we going to prove that scientifically? You had this in chemistry class. You had this in elementary school. You take the water and say, well, it's a liquid. A liquid is anything that's you have to have walls to hold it in or to run every place. It's a liquid. I have some liquid water in this bottle right here. And if I didn't have a bottle, I couldn't hold it. That's a liquid. It's a scientific fact. We accept that with the definition of terms and words and what we know, water. Put that in the ice box over there in the freezer part and it'll freeze that. It'll be hard as a baseball, frozen. That's another state. I have just proven to you that's the second state of water, ice. And say, okay, now that's scientific evidence. We got that. And then the other one is condensation. On the outside of this bottle is condensation. I don't know if you can see it, but the inside is cold. The outside is the barometric pressure of the day and the temperature of this room, and it causes condensation. The dew point has to start someplace, so it starts on the outside of the barrier of that plastic, and you could get condensation that way, or you could put it in a pan, set it on the stove or your coffee pot and turn it on, and it will cause steam, condensation of steam. Say, what is that? That's another form of water. Say, so I have scientifically proven to you that that water. And that's how a scientist would work. He takes known facts, known things, puts them together, proves what now is, and we had that big fancy word, hypothesis. We have proved a hypothesis. Say, well, okay, what's wrong with science? And really nothing. It's very interesting. But it's when people step in, I won't mention any names, and they start twisting science to come along with your philosophy and telling you something because of their education, because they know they got you over a barrel and you haven't performed that experiment in the lab and you haven't proven it, and they really haven't either, but they're going to bamboozle you and tell you, well, science says, follow the science. We'll just follow the science. And you buy it hook, line, and sinker. I bought it too. You say, sniffing glue's okay. Let's prove it scientifically. Yeah, you go ahead and huff you a paper bag full of glue and see where you end up. Do a little experiment. So, science. Now, compared to philosophy, which is basically an unproven theory or proven in one's mind, like naturalism, realism, idealism. Somebody's got an idea. Oh, this is just my idea, and this is my philosophy. This is my take on this. Be careful with that. If your philosophy doesn't line up with the Word of God, guess what? Your philosophy's wrong. I don't care how you feel. So now we live in an age of pragmatism. That was that fourth philosophy that sums it all up. They're pragmatic. Little of this, little of that, little of this. And a pragmatist is able at this point in his life to call good evil and evil good. Huh? Oh, you know, you can't really tell if they're lost or not, or if they're saved or not. Yeah, but if I put my cop uniform on, you're calling the police. Phil's done flipped his lid. He thinks he's a police officer. You better arrest him, cuff him, stuff him, tase him, put him in jail. No, better yet, take him to the loony bin. So, philosophy, science has its, well, dealing with just one thought this morning is all we're going to have time to deal with when it comes to science, and I've already tipped my hand. We'll deal with the universe and how did it get here? In other words, creation. You say, why? Well, that's a big issue. Now, a scientist, he wants all the things, all the stuff that you're going to debate put on the table. And then they'll make their finding through experiment, and just like we described the experiment of water. But the funny thing here about science today, it doesn't do that. Take your public school system, for instance. Say, well, we're scientific in teaching and scientific in learning, and we want to teach our children to be able to, you know, come up with the right scenario, the right hypothesis here. But they will not allow creation to be taught in the public school system, but they will allow the Darwinian theory to be taught, or the Big Bang theory. Say, what is that? Well, question mark I have, are they real scientists or aren't they real scientists? They're fakes. They're philosophers cloaked in the degree of science. And they want to try to fool you into thinking what they're teaching is right when you've got a Bible and your hand says totally the opposite. So guess what? They're going to tell you you're the kook and we're normal. I got news for you. They're the kook and you're normal. Where'd you hear that? You heard that at your church. That's not afraid to preach against the philosophy of the world and science. And did you hear that? So-called. And nothing wrong with science, but it just gets twisted. And it becomes more of a philosophy. So dealing with the Big Bang theory or the universe or creation, the philosopher would answer, this is causality, and put it in a bracket called cosmology. Cosmology is the cosmos. And I looked these words up so I could get a pretty good grip on them, which would fall under metaphysics, and you've heard those terms thrown around. Those are big, fancy words. Have you ever noticed that every profession has its vocabulary? If you're a nurse here today, you learn the prefixes and suffixes of all the words, and they were Latin-based, French, whatever they were based, so that you could understand what medicine falls into what category. And I've done a little reading on that, but I'm by no means a nurse of any kind in the medical profession. But they have their language. Doctors have their language. And if you haven't studied what they studied, they can throw you under the rug in a hurry because they're talking about this and that and all that and this and this and that. And you say, okay, doc, give it to me in plain English. Well, you got a pinched nerve. Oh, why didn't you just say that? So that everybody, and the scientists are the same way. Philosophers are the same way. They have their metaphysicists, their all the stuff that they want to throw at you to make you scratch your head and say, now, man, that's a big fancy $60 word. Man, he's got to know what he's talking about. Man, let's just go with him because he seems to be educated. You're going to make a mistake. You need to put it up in neutral for a minute and let the Bible do some thinking for you. Amen. So I'm looking at this thing, and they call it the cosmology, which would fall under metaphysics. And there's a lot of written word out there on all these crazy stuff. We have trees, oceans, the sun, the moon, the planets, stars, clouds, wind, animals, plants, rocks, mountains, people. How did it all get here? Well, you can go with what the Bible says, or you can go with what science says. And when you think about that, science has never been able to demonstrate its own thesis. Isn't that something? It takes a lot of faith to believe what some scientists put out there. But we're just going to stay with the science, you know. You know, especially in this pandemic, this COVID thing. Let's just stay with the science. I got news for you. I think God has lifted up many a person that caught COVID when maybe if God hadn't have been involved, they'd have died. God has answered prayer. I got a friend in Scotland. His wife is just now getting over COVID, and we've been praying for her and praying for her and praying for her. And I've known that man 40 years. Say, well, brother, yeah, God got involved. And then there's other guys that God said, you know what? Your time's up. You got COVID. You're coming home. Brother Mike Collingwood, a very close preacher friend of mine, died of COVID this past year. Brother Phil Skipper almost died. If it had been for the prayers of the saints, he'd have been gone. Had nothing to do with science, had everything to do with prayer. Our pastor and his wife had COVID 40 days or more. They were laid low. But you know what? God lifted them up, and he's here. He'll be preaching in the morning hour. And you still hear Miss Joyce sing a little bit. Wayne Munn, another friend of mine who I've known for years and years and years, just passed on, died of COVID. But when God steps in, I don't care what you got. You could have the bubonic plague. Well, my Bible says you could have leprosy, and God is able to heal you through prayer. I don't care what the science says. So science has never been able to demonstrate its own thesis when it comes to the universe, that it all came from accidentally, or that's what they say, it all come about accidentally. Now, even to use that word for a scientist, he's not even supposed to entertain the word accidentally, because he's supposed to prove all of his thesis by real things and matter and real matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, you know, when you studied back in those days. He says, well, it's just a big bang. All those atoms got together, all those protons got together. We don't exactly know how it worked, and we haven't been able to prove it yet, but we know it's true. That book can't be true. And at the bottom line, they're God-defying atheists who don't want to believe what the Word of God says. And that's why Paul's warning Timothy, be careful of these birds. Scientists always want the facts, supposedly, and always consider all evidence, supposedly, if they are honest in their search for the truth. That's how a scientist is supposed to work. But when it comes to the universe, they ain't working that way. Yeah. Now you know why Paul warned Timothy about science falsely so-called. The four approaches to creation. And I was doing some research this week, and I thought they were unique, and I thought, well, I'll just give them to you as we're passing off the scene with this little series on science and philosophy, so-called. But there are four approaches to creation, the first one being the universe has always been here. It had no start because it is eternal, just like the ancient Greek philosophers guessed And that's what a lot of those guys said. I did a library one time. When I say did, I'm a plasterer by trade. We worked on the outside of this building in Sims County over there in Cincinnati in the Loveland kind of Montgomery area. And I did this big library. And I was working union at the time and had me out there. And I didn't know these guys from Adam. But I had to spell Aristotle, Socrates, Euclid, and some more that my mind ain't letting me call right now. And I had to carve that into the foam around the rotunda of this building. And, you know, you can't work on that stuff cutting those letters in there, Euclid. How do you spell that again? E-U, you know. And all of a sudden it's ingrained in your brain. So I don't know these guys, but that's how come I know their names. And you'll hear me say them once in a while. It's still froze in my mind, amen. And I had to do that. And those were the scientists of their day. And they guessed in all their wisdom that possibly the universe has always been here. Now, I'm giving you the one approach to creation. That's their approach. And they guessed it. They believed in eternity of matter. That was their theory. Eternity of matter. And we say, you had in your, when you were in high school, that chair is matter. But right now it's in the form of a chair and you can sit on it. It gets cold in winter, you just break it up, burn it in the fireplace, becomes firewood, but it's matter. A little scientific research. Secondly, the other approach to creation, it has not always been here. There was a time when nothing was here, and then accidentally, this is science today, through a big bang, quote unquote, or a dust cloud, some say, it was all created naturally out of nothing. Just remember watching the Mickey Mouse show, Abracadabra, or whatever that show was, Kazam, and boom, it popped in. You say, what is it? That's the evolution's theory. Then there's a third approach to creation. It is not really here. I'm being honest, I'm getting this out of a textbook. It is not really here. You just think it's here. This is a scientific approach. This is a joke, man. Watch. All is an illusion. It sounds like somebody out of the 60s smoking LSD. Says pain, death, sin, suffering, and just a bad dream. And so is goodness. Same. Truth. Honesty and loyalty. So do drugs, get high. You're headed for a hole in the ground. You say, what is that? That's some people's take on the universe, on creation. And it's assumed by enough people that it's written in books today. Amen. Thirdly. Now, fourth view, it was created out of nothing supernaturally and miraculously by a superior intelligence that is self-existing. This is the view of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Also read chapter 40 and 41 of Isaiah. Moses believed it. He believed it and recorded it in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. David believed it in Psalms chapter 145 and chapter 147. He talks about the creation of God and God being the creator God. The apostle Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 19. Who is the image of the invisible God? He believed in that God was a spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and truth. He was invisible to the naked eye of man, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16 of Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now that last take on that thing is the creationist view. But all that's right, we're going to stay with the science. And being scientifically in mind and spirit and having graduated from the educational terminals of the world and being good scientists, looking at all the facts, we think the Bible isn't trustworthy. Look, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. How can he know them? I'm not surprised the world don't want the Bible view. That's why the Bible got kicked out of school. That's why we have a Christian school. Huh? That's why. You say, why? Because they're going to mess with your kids in school. They're going to give you the philosophy of this world. They're going to come out of there and they're going to want to sit on the couch and twiddle their thumbs and play some video game. And they're not going to want to dig a ditch if you give them a gold-plated shovel. Amen, Brother Phil. But that Bible said a man must work by the sweat of his brow, and they're going to do everything that they can to get away from that thing and get around that thing, and they're going to go do it some other way. I got news for you. It's back to the book or back to the jungle, boys. Amen. No public school textbook has ever dared list the four possibilities given here that I've given you. They leave the last one out every time. You say, why? Because they'd rather mess with you psychologically. They'd rather lie to you and call it science. And you're going to come out. What do you think's wrong with that generation come out of the public school system now? Some of them can't even read. There might be some hope for them if you ever get them lost. Amen. What do you think's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Our teachers have been indoctrinated. We got lost people running this thing. You are a peculiar people. You are in the minority. But listen, you are on the winning side. You say, well, Brother Phil, isn't there a moral majority? Yeah, you believe Jerry Falwell, there's no moral majority, and there never has been. Amen. There's a moral insanity. I mean, moral. There's a majority insanity. I didn't mean moral, I meant majority. There's a majority insanity. There's a majority of lost people. I'll be preaching on it Monday night. All the people in this world, out of all the people in this world, there's more people going to hell than going to heaven. But see, we've let the philosophy of the world creep in, and my idea is that God probably saves just more people. There's probably more people saved than you'd think. I got news for you, son. When the church raptures out, this old wicked world won't even miss them. Amen. They might miss that Sunday go to meeting potluck dinner or something, but they won't miss the preaching or the teaching. And man, that guy, that Brother Phil, we're glad he's gone. We knew he was crazy. Believe that Bible. So what kind of agenda do you think the state-run schools have if they will not honestly present all four sides of the most crucial issue, creation, in modern science? Are they really true scientists if they will not even look at all the evidence? And they make their living out of books, but they won't read the book. They're afraid of that thing. They're afraid somebody might believe it, and if they believe it, it might change them. I got news for you. That engrafted word of God will save your soul. It will change you. Say, well, man, I've spent all my life. I want to be a scientist in a lab, a research lab someplace. And I love science. I want to be a scientist. I got news for you. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. Thank God for the medicine that we have. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. I'm glad for those people. But when you step across that line and you quit believing God and you believe all the philosophy of this world and all the scientific so-called staying with the science people that won't even prove that thesis, yeah, well, let me go back to my text and I'll quit. Old Timothy. We could say, old church, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That book's been committed to our trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Yeah, there's plenty of it out there. And oppositions. Watch it. of science, falsely so-called. Science is going to oppose what that book says. And he said, he warned, be careful of it. Say, why are we teaching on it? I'm telling you why. People say, well, why do we have to start a Christian school? We got great teachers in our school system. I'm not doubting that. But I know what the philosophy is behind that thing. And as time ticks away and time ticks away and time ticks away, our schools aren't getting better. They're getting worse. They're getting worse. So just maybe if the Lord should tarry, we'll have a handful of kids that might surrender to preach and believe in this book, might surrender to go to the mission field because of believing that book, might surrender to serve God in a full-time manner. So who knows? Our schools sure aren't putting them out. They're going, I got to quit. That's conclude our four-lesson series on science and philosophy, so-called. We won't go any further with it. We'll be on something else next time. And I'll be out some. Obviously got a meeting starting Monday night. I won't be here tonight. Pray for me, class. Pray for me. I'm out of time. Pray for me. I've had some tests run this week. I've got some trauma issues. I have a numbness in my right arm. It hurts me to play the piano. My arm's just about totally numb. We play through two or three songs. I know you can't tell it out there, but I can tell it. I can't paint my house. I can't move scaffold. I couldn't get the wheelchair in and out of the car. I got a new lift, thank God. God come through the butt. Pray for me. I got something wrong. I had an MRI the other day. I have a pinched nerve between 6 and 7, and they say it's just from an old body. And I immediately thought of what Pastor said. We need a body transplant. I'm just afraid who I might get. Yeah. So pray for me. It's a strain. By the end of the day, I can't hardly move my arm. I can't. And when it affects me lifting a fork, I go to the doctor and get something done. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you today for a chance to preach your word, to teach. Thank you for good folks getting in. And pray, Lord, you suit a blessing. Now, Pastor's coming to preach in a minute. I pray, God, you'd bless him in a special, mighty way. Give him the unction of God when he speaks your word. Bless the song service and the specials and the music and Brother Jeff as he leads us. And all the people that play and sing special music, I pray, God, for them. Lord, especially for that one that might come in lost, that they might be saved before they leave this place. Encourage the church. Bless the saints. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you. Good morning.